I've got something to rejoice about. I've been born again. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Love you, Father. Love you, Jesus.
About a year and a half from now, you won't even believe this because you won't even think that I'm half this old. And about a year and a half from now, I'll be serving Him 40 years.
Thank you, Jesus.
And some of you will a lot longer than that. But 40 years.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I never went back.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Never went back.
Woo! Glory. Hallelujah.
You say, that's real good for you. Listen, at the new birth, when you got born again, if you truly got born again, there were and there is none birth defects.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Nobody, sometimes people say, but boy, they got saved. No, if anybody gets saved, they all get the same thing.
Amen.
They get a new nature.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. They got the same thing. Boy, you got saved. No. We all, if we got born again,
yes,
we got the new nature.
Hallelujah.
No birth defects. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well,
then what stops one person? It's what you believe about what you got. If you believe that what you got will hold up under any conditions, it's a walk in the park. If you believe it can drag you back, it'll drag you back. But listen, Paul said there is no, and when he said no, he meant no. There's no temptation, no test, no trial, no tribulation, no diabolical scheme of Satan that has come to you as an individual. And he said as such is not common to man, meaning somebody somewhere is going through it or has gone through it before. But know this, the God of all grace.
Hallelujah.
Maybe he said that someplace else. I'll put that in there now. He said this. He will make a way of escape. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been born again.
Hallelujah.
We cannot be defeated.
Hallelujah.
And we get to go to heaven in a revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like God has purchased this big, you know, it's like buying a big vehicle, brand new vehicle. He says it's waiting on you and I'm going to give you cash back right now before you ever get there. I got this mansion of glory, manifest glory that I'm going to baptize you in when you get here. But I'm going to give you cash back before you ever get there so you can walk around with something in your pocket. It's called a new nature, and the joy of the Lord is sufficient. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand on your feet for just a minute? Lift those little bitty paddles that you got on the end of your arms called hands and magnify Him for just a moment. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. You are exalted above all. We magnify you, glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you and glorify you. You alone are so worthy to receive praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We give you all the
glory.
Hallelujah.
I worship Jesus.
I worship
Jesus.
I magnify you.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Although we're probably going to get you up in just a second. Glory. These are wonderful days to live in, aren't they? Hallelujah. I feel like any moment revival is just going to break out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, buddy. We never knew when we were out there on that block pile together that we'd be worshiping God like this, did we? Hallelujah. You can't get enough. I feel the same way. I can't get enough. You can't get enough either. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. I exalt you. You know, if you court him, because all worship is, it's romancing him. If you don't romance her, you can live 50 years with her. You got a good track record, but there won't be no steam in your engine. If you romance her and court her, she'll, even when she's silver-headed, and boy, when she walks away in those jeans, you'll think that is all the world right there. You can live 50, 60 years with God and have His DNA in you, but lost the vinegar. But you can romance Him and it'll get, you can stay red hot. That was His argument in the Revelation, the church. I can't even feel you anymore. I just spew you out because I can't discern you. Or you lukewarm. You know what lukewarm is? It's room temperature. It's undiscernible. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's just going through the motions. He said, I'd rather you be cold. That way I could come shake you real good and get you jump started again. But you're just zombieing out on me. My God. I want it to be hot. Hallelujah. He loves me as he maxed out his love for me. He can't love me anymore. So I got to go get him every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teddy, you have got the biggest smile on your face today. Teddy's wife is with us. Hallelujah. Kelly. In fact, why don't you just stand and go around and greet a bunch of people, and you'll want to hug Kelly this morning, Kenny, and some of these guys that come in. Hallelujah. Oh, there's never been a man more alive than you, Jesus. And you've given us that same life that is in you. Glory be to God. I love that song. You'd have to listen to that one a few times to just get the meat of it. It is glorious. I appreciate it. I also appreciate Matt and Maria's endeavoring to go into places and find cutting edge kind of music that portrays the life that we're living. That intimacy and dying to self. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get Gay to come and do some more confessions over our finances. Why don't you put the buckets out? Hallelujah. Everybody's anointed. I want to say thank you, all of you that gave Wednesday night. We hardly ever say anything about the specifics of anything. Wednesday night was one of those, okay, God, need to show yourself. But I really never felt that way. The spirit of peace, hallelujah. But we did take it up right after confessions. And He told me how to do it and what to do, and man, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you got to get it. I hope you are getting it, that if we're confessing over, making these confessions over the finances of the church, Guess who it's got to come through first? If you're part of the vision, it's got to come through you. It just, you're not going to find, no matter what angels did do, and they do a lot, they can unlock prison doors. They've never, ever yet showed up with bagfuls of money. Finances always came through flesh and blood and people. So if we're confessing over the church and you're part of it, and you've got to believe that you tie yourself into a vision. Last week I shared just briefly about some of you that your mouth keep giving you away. Now I got the best job ever because I get to hear from all of you. I don't want to hear from you when you got a complaint. Just a praise report. But the praise report is by several whose hearts are bleeding for God. I'm just dissatisfied. I want to do more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God can do it through several different ways. When Israel was an infant nation, just 12 brethren, they were going to starve to death, except that Joseph's brethren took him and threw him in a pit and sold him to some merchants. And when he got to where he was going, he was thrown in jail, and you know the story. And then he, you know, Potiphar worked for him, and thrown in jail. And he raises up through dreams and visions to first man in the kingdom. And then when a famine hit, like kinds that starve people to death, then God had a plan. It had been working for years and years. And well, his brethren, when they did recognize, and he brought them back, and Jacob sent them. He didn't want to send Benjamin because that was his favorite. He had Joseph and Benjamin by a particular lady that he just was madly in love with. And he didn't want to send Benjamin, but he finally gave in. And so, well, the long story is that God used Joseph, as they stood there and they said, you know, we're so sorry for what we did to you. It's been years now. He said, don't worry about it. God prepared me. Prepared me so that I could, I've got rulership all over this land. And now you guys come, you won't starve. I've been prepared by God to bring you in as a nation, to preserve you for a time ahead. Hallelujah. Well, God gave us a particular Joseph, a mystery person to you, but God saw in advance 4 or 5 years ago the hard time that the whole economy would be having. Brought us in. I never ask. One thing, if you're a faith person, you never ask. Like something inside of you grows up and you just can't ask. I can ask for you and I can ask for the church, but I just can't ask for myself hardly. But when somebody else calls you and says something, want to take over something, will you let me? Well, then God puts on their heart, you can do that. So God prepared a Joseph for us in the mortgage department, and we've had extreme favor. So we lift our hands and thank God for that. Because otherwise, if we'd have been working with Egypt and all that stuff. Please pray for this mystery person, that God brings them into the fullness of their inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they've got godly people around them already. That's why they are who they are. But nevertheless, even with that kind of favor, we've had the same challenges that you have. But you know what? The Lord corrected me on something the other night. I said it. We've been talking about the challenges that you have and the different times of, you know, the church standing in faith. He brought this to my attention. A lot of you said, amen, that's right. Because sometimes we'll talk way too much on the negative. Do you know, despite whatever you're going through or whatever the economy is going through, do you know there's just as much gold as there ever was? Do you know that there's just as much cash out there as there ever was? They haven't burned it. It's not left the planet. It's still here. The problem is, it's someplace in somebody else's account and not in yours. I know how to stand in faith and believe that there can be a transfer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's never that there's never enough cash or gold. It's still here. It hasn't left the planet. It's just in the wrong place. Glory be to God. We get to live out our inheritance. And a bunch of you are claiming this with us. I say that Immokalee is saved. Yes. Okay, he's going to get to do that with us. Somebody was having a fruitful, not a fruitless, but a fruitful conversation with me the other day. And they said, well, what about this? How do I know, because their heart's so pure, how do I know if I got the pink slip that I'd be ready for it even in the hard time? I said, here's how you know. If you're doing now behind closed doors, prayer closet, word, confession, what it takes to stand, even if it doesn't come or does come, you know that you're ready for whatever it is that could possibly come. See, some people argue with you and they'll tell you, you don't know unless you were in my shoes if you could walk this out. Oh no, listen. There's a mock simulated. Before they ever launch an astronaut into space, he's got to go through a simulated, less gravity kind of thing. And then they put him through G-forces where they press his body to a place where they can see if his brain will hold up underneath it, if his body under compression will hold up underneath it. And then if he gets the pass, he gets to go into outer space. But anything he faces up there, he's already faced down here. He went into a mock session. My prayer closet is all I need to know that if I go in there and find him and he continues to lavish me with his love and I continue to die to the flesh, I can know this, that whatever did or did not come in this life, I was ready for it because he's the one that prepared me for it. Hallelujah. But the transverse of that is also true. Hard times. Sometimes, now let's talk like this. Let's talk like we're a teaching church and we're talking to people that need this. Let's say you're a gospel entrepreneur and you checked your books at the very best of times. I mean, when it was rolling in. You didn't think it would ever stop. You checked your books and your weekend excursions, vacations, and happy times were, oh no, 10 times as much as what you were given into the kingdom. Now, for an entrepreneur that loves God, that just won't do. That's just unacceptable. Because their heart won't let him do that. Not that he wouldn't give you good things. He's a loving daddy. But those kind of ratios just don't work. But then you realize, you go through a time like this and you realize, hey, I'm going to make the adjustment. My God, if I ever get back on my toes again and it's rolling in, it'll be flip-flopped or it'll look a lot better than it did used to. Well, that's right. It will if, like I said to this person, if you're doing the things now that change the flesh. Because I can tell you something about your flesh. Because I is one. Prosperity brings amnesia. Prosperity has with it, no matter what it was that you hated about where you were at, and you recognized with eyes lit up, this will never happen again. Prosperity has a shot of Novocaine. And unless you were dying in the hard time, the Novocaine anesthetizes your brain so that I know you swear, God, I'll be a better steward of my finances next time. I can promise you this, according to the Word of God, there is a next time coming. He promised. Now, when Jesus comes back, there is no worldwide famine that just is completely, it's not in prophecy. It'll be just like it was. There's always seed time and harvest. This has always happened. This is always, there was, you know, the late depression years ago, but there was depressions through the centuries, famines, but there's always been seed time and harvest. There is another time coming. There is another time coming. So we can rejoice in that. But guess what? Prosperity has a Novocaine shot with it. I can promise you this. If you don't do something during the times where you can make the adjustment, you won't be 6 weeks in. You say, oh no, I'll argue that. No, you won't be 6 weeks in to the roll of good things again. That your brain won't be telling you, it'd be nice to recarpet this house, put on another bedroom, and book us, because we really deserve it. We went through a hard time. Book us a 2 or 3 week cruise. The Novocaine will shoot through your body and senses. Hallelujah to God. But that's not you. Hallelujah. We're teaching another church and they need to hear that. So all you churches that need to hear what it's like to walk a Spirit-filled life, listen. Die in the opportune times. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. I love you, Jesus. Lift your hands. I love you. Father, I worship you and thank you. You are worthy. Worthy of all praise. Worthy of all glory. Worthy of all honor. You've provided. You'll provide for all of us. Thank you for it. Gay, give us a shot of something to take away the Novocaine. Hallelujah.
Father, you are provider. Angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Things known about and things yet to be revealed, because you are the God who answers before we call. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all, and we abound with many baskets left over. Our financial granaries are full, because our King has found stewards that he can trust, and I am one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you have need of, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions at your feet. And I say again, Lord, if you need anything I have, It's yours. Lord, I lay all my money at your feet. I am a first-class servant, and my life is not my own. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I just share one thing? You know, $4 trillion is in movement every day. Every 24 hours, $4 trillion moves. That's not the money that stays in each account or savings account or hidden in somebody's mattress. That's what moves. And as sons of God, we can raise our hands up and we can catch some of that. It's $4 trillion. If we can divide that, and that's serious money.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, we catch it now in Jesus' name. If you're able to make all grace abound towards us, that we, having all sufficiency at all times, may abound into every good work. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're going to come to my house, you've got to change things, Father. And I thank you that you've done it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had a good time last Sunday, and we were sharing on Paul's thorn in the flesh and broke it down. That is going to be actually, Kathy said, I know what he's doing. He's preaching June's letter. She was right. But some of the people have already requested that they get something on this. There was 36 different kinds of events that took place in Paul's life that he lists in those few short verses. And they weren't given to demean us and make us feel like that we're less than. They were given to encourage us and show us there is nothing that we cannot do through Christ Jesus. This man went through all those different adversities. Then our identification is in Christ. So we're going to try to get that. If you really, really want one of those letters, we're just now proofing it. But I'm going to put Kathy on the spot like I always do. And go see Kathy. We can get you one of those probably sometime next week. Because some of you are really enjoying the statistical part of it. And I felt like it really drove home some key points. Let's turn in our Bibles to a very familiar portion of Scripture. Candy called me on this, and I thought to myself, no, I will not. She said, you'll probably say some of the same stuff you said Wednesday night. And so I thought, no, you're wrong. She was right. Luke chapter 14. Hallelujah. How many of you know we are going into revival? Jesus. Hallelujah. Granddaddy saw me at the break, and he said, I'm telling you it's coming. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please stretch your faith this way? Father, I love you. I love you so much. I thank you for all of your people. They're not mine. This church is not mine. No part of the ministry is mine. This is not my revival. This is not my church. This is not my station in life. All is yours. Belongs to you. It'll go back to you when all this is done. Father, bless us according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus to hear your word and to follow you, Holy Spirit. Follow you, Father. Thank you for the Comforter, the all-wise one. Oh, Jesus, bring us into more intimacy. Let peace and grace be experienced all the more. What more can we say? Guide us into these truths, Lord, and on into your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Please continue to say things concerning old things. So stay with us. Don't assume that you've heard this and so you know it. Because he's saying some things to me that I've not really heard him say exactly like he's saying it. But I think it's vitally important for us as revivalists to hear and hear again, and hear every slant that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us concerning the Word of God. Luke chapter 14 is a chapter, it's a one thought, it's on the exaltation of Christ. And the exaltation of Christ boils down to this. It's not somebody getting you up on stage and saying, look, we want to tell everybody how much we appreciate this person, and they've getting a plaque this morning, and by the way, they've got a parking place, a parking sticker out front. Their name is on it. Please don't anybody sit in their seat or park in their parking place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We will not do that here. In Jesus' name, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I like competing for places. Glory be to God. If you want your seat, get here early enough to have your seat. If you want a parking place, get your parking, you know, get here early enough to get your parking place. Otherwise, we'll, in the days to come, get a golf cart and cart you up here. Hallelujah. You can get out. Well, I'm the one of the ones who started this place, and I prayed it into existence. Well, okay, glory to God. We'll send a golf cart for you. Sit in the AC until we get to you. Oh, sorry we forgot about you during the service. There were so many miracles taking place. Hallelujah. Well, how'd we get off on that? Exaltation, what it is not. Exaltation, what it is. When God, the Lord Jesus Christ, come and bestows upon you all the gifts and the grace for you to complete your ministerial call. I'm looking out here at ministers this morning. I laughingly said last week that you're all going to be ordained in the future because of the persecution. But you all are ordained ministers of Christ. Many of you, various and sundry different ways, but some of you are what we were talking about just a moment ago. Gospel entrepreneurs, the simplicity of giving. Your call is to make money for the kingdom of God so you can transfer great portions of wealth into the kingdom of God. Jesus talks about this person in this particular chapter. He also talks about every other part of the ministry. He talks about the part where intercessors. He may not mention it particularly in this chapter, but he does mention it in another chapter through Paul's writings, and we are all part of it, where intercessors birth everything in the church. How many remember when the Lord showed me an inner vision where I saw that in the days ahead we would walk into what would be almost like a war room, and we would gather together the gifts and say, look, we've got to take that nation, or we've got to take that part of our city, or we've got to take this part of Florida. And the corporate heads, per se, if you want to say it that way, would step up, male or female, and say, I'm representing all of the intercession of the church. What do we need to do? The one wearing the hat, whether male or female, would step up and say, Pastor, how much are you going to need to fund that? And I, at that point, could see in that just stepping and saying, I don't know, talk to this person, because they were governments, because governments works in a capacity where they organize everything right down to the final detail, and they say, okay, intercessors, be praying, this is what we need. And while they're saying this is what we need, help says, okay, don't worry about that, we got that taken care of, pray for something else. What did you need? You needed $1 million? Oh, let's see, pooling between the three of us, that's not a big deal, we just transfer it. How do you want it funded? We can transfer it this week. Hallelujah. This is the revival that's going to take place. It's spiritual revival, but it's also academic. A lot of wonderful things are going to take place right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. It helps, and governments and intercessors, they're all a very vital, important part of everything that's supposed to take place. God's exaltation is when He comes and He endows you for the part that you're supposed to play in it. But guess what? In between the part that you're supposed to play in it and getting there, there is a great fight. Is there not? Amen. And we've got to learn some things in the fight if we're ever going to arrive at the place that He's called us to be. Everybody say amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at chapter 14 and verse 12. This is what Jesus was talking about, and we're not going to go into the whole part of this chapter. But He said also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, don't call, and I'm going to paraphrase part of this, don't call your friends, your brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense be made. Well, Jesus is going to start a parable in just a few verses, and he's telling them, don't do this. But then in the parable that he's about to start, he's going to use an analogy and do what he just told them don't do. But you're going to find out the reason why. He said, when you have this dinner, he's sitting at a dinner. He's sitting at a place of a festive kind of setting. And the whole thing was he was watching how people were taxing for a place of, they were jockeying for a place of authority. And he's rebuking them in this statement. And he's saying, don't do this. When you call together or have a dinner, don't call friends and family. And he's not against that. He's just saying, don't let one hand feed the other. Because I'm going to tell you exactly what my motivation is. Verse 13. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Does that sound like revival? Oh my, it does. We're going to have something to do with that. Now, if you're fivefold, you may be doing this. In Jesus' name, get out of that. Although all of you in the streets are going to be doing that all the time. If you're fivefold, all the babies that are being ushered in, you're going to be teaching those. And you're going to be teaching them. And if you're in governments, you're going to be taking those babies by the shoulders and saying, you know what? When did you get saved? Well, I got saved last week. Okay, you 25, go with them. Because they're going to take you down there to Holy Ghost Room 101. You need to get baptized. And you need to start praying in tongues. But guess what? I can see on you that you've got a ministry already. Your heart is... I just said prayer and you started crying like a baby. You've got a call to intercessory prayer. Get them filled and then run them over to Sister Barbara's class and let her take them through how to sit and go into intercession. And governments will kind of coordinate all that, but helps will be saying, hey, you know, do we need to have more? What is it that we need to, you know, how can we fund, you know, the media part of this? Because listen, there'll be no earthly way, you know, with my little pea brain, I'm thinking 1,000 people born again every week. You know, where are you going to put them at? You can't build facilities fast enough. It won't be like that. It will be on and on and on. It'll be a tsunami effect reaching out through our city, other cities, and other waves from other places that people are joining in will be a part of that. But the way that you will be getting them birthed and disciple them is through mass media. And the entrepreneur will be stepping up and paying for that. And you'll also have your kind of, you know, your home foundation where people in the nucleus of things will be ministering out of. But it's going to be a lot bigger than us. And the exaltation is for you and I to get to move and minister in what we've been called in to full capacity, unrestricted. Hallelujah. If I'm a fivefold, I want to be teaching this group. I want to be laying hands. I want to be pastoring. You've got some pastors in here. You got some that's wearing a couple hats. You're working as entrepreneurs. You're working as intercessors as well. That's great. You can do more than one if you stay steady at your call. Well, then Jesus begins to teach them here about exactly what he's talking about. Because he says, when you make this feast, and he's really talking to us about revival, call the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot repent thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. When one of them heard, or one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus said unto him, listen, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. Now I want you to notice something. This first group that Jesus is using as an analogy for revival is not what he just said. Call the blind, the maimed, the halt, all these things. He's, he, when he sent this servant out, he didn't go out to start with. That's always on his mind. He's to the streets. But the first people that he calls here is exactly against what he said, don't call. He said, go after these. But he calls people that have their, pretty much their act together. They have life together, because you see that when you begin to see what kind of reaction they had to the call. And they all, verse 18, with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant went and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes, and the city, and bring in, this is where he was always headed, but he wanted this first bunch to be a part of getting this latter bunch in. So what he's going to have to do is, I'll tell you what he's going to have to do is, the first bunch that couldn't see it and couldn't be a part of it, they get left out. But the next bunch that comes in all halt, blind, maimed, afflicted, he's got to pack them in, he's got to get them saved, he's got to get them healed, and then raise up their ministries in and among them. But guess what? Because of our understanding, by His grace, we're already past that. We know we've been called, and we know we've got an assignment. Hallelujah. We know we've got an assignment. And the servant said unto his Lord, it is done as you've commanded, and yet there's room. And he said, well, the Lord said unto him, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I mean, pack them in. You've got some other place to put one more. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste, bidden at the beginning, will taste of my supper. Of course, we have talked before, this supper is, it's not the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be no halt, blind, maimed. That supper is coming. We're going to get married. We're betrothed right now, and we're really married, but I mean the culmination. The honeymoon's going to take place one day. Hallelujah. We're going to be married, and we're going to sit down with Christ forever. But guess what? In between now and then, we get to have a great supper called revival. And every one of us get to participate in it. Hallelujah. Are you glad? Come on, are you glad? Hallelujah. He said unto them, come on. And they, watch this. This is the part that is amazing to me. Then with a certain man in verse 16, when he made this supper and he bade many, he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. First of all, I want you to understand this, that these guys, and this is important for you to know, these guys that refused the first call, we're going to look at the reasons why, and we've done that before in the past, but it's imperative to get to where we're going to recognize it again. But he said, the way that he says this, those that were called, he says, now it is ready. In other words, we can sometimes read this and look at these guys' excuses and think they were just interrupted at an inopportune time in their life to serve out their ministry. So how can you fault somebody for having a plan and doing something, Lord, and you step up and say, hey, I want you to come right now and get involved in this? Because that's not what he was saying. These guys already knew that something was going to take place. Can you see that? How do you know, Pastor? Because it says, come, for all things are now ready. He says earlier to his servant, he says, say unto them that were bidden, it's ready now. It's ready. Now's the time to get serious with what you've been called to do. I told you it was coming. You understood it was coming. You've been for a long time hearing it was coming. This is not a shock to you. It's time to roll up your sleeves and jump in. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Man, praise God. He didn't just interrupt them. They had time to know it was coming. Their ministry call, they've been called. Get ready for it. Now it's time to get ready for it, folks. Hallelujah. They all with one consent. Now listen. They begin to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. Who can buy a piece of ground except somebody that's got the money to buy a piece of ground? He was talking about these little entrepreneurs. Do you know if Satan can't stop you from your ministry, he'll get you so involved in what your call is under the anointing of your call that you will... That's probably not a good word. But it'll drive it home. You'll prostitute your call. You'll sell your call on, I'm too busy to get involved in what I've been called to because I'm out here doing it. I'm out here making the money for it. And then you'll lose the vision of what you were for because you're not involved in the supper. You got to be involved in this. You got to take your call. This guy should have bought his ground. He should have. But he should not have let his ground keep him from going to the supper. Do you understand that? You'll ultimately prostitute your call if you're involved too much in what your call is and not in the academics of getting people born again, spirit-filled. You not only need to be given the money, you need to be in there scrubbing the little babies and helping out in the birthing process. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good stuff. That's just good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. He said this. The other one, I must go see. He said, I bought this ground. I must go see and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another. See, these are ministry of helps. I bought this yoke of oxen. I must go and prove them. I mean, by the way, Jesus, you've called me to do all this. You know what we've said before in the past? These things are so, how can you argue them? How can you, as somebody encouraging somebody else who's not in the game and who's outside of where they need to be, if they give you these excuses, what is, there is nothing wrong with, in fact, as a GE, as a ministry of helps, you need to be doing those kinds of things. The next one is, I've married a wife. The nucleus of the foundation of a good revival is family. It's family, folks. It's how close husbands and wives ultimately can bond with each other. It's how wonderful children and mothers and fathers can get along with. Jesus is not trying to separate. He's trying to bring a cohesion here. It's family. In fact, that's why we intentionally do not have a whole lot for you to do around here. Because we want to give you time to do the message and be with family. Now you can keep a lot of people at church all the time if you have a good social club. If you have like 19 different things for people to have to, and then you get those people, the leaders, to say, will you take over this? And will you do it? And grudgingly, oh, okay, I'll do it for pastor, you know. And so they show up, and then they got to get, if you have something going every night of the week, you know, it's like people come here and they say, do y'all have this? Do you have that? Do you have that? No, we don't. No, we don't. But we want to give you plenty of time to do what we teach. Well, can I join the church? Yeah, if you keep coming, you're joined. Because if you decide to, when, the day and hour you get mad at me, a piece of paper is not going to keep you here. I can't come to you and say, hey, look, you know you signed your name on this. Would you please come back to church? I know you hate me, but I'm telling you, according to this paper, you've got to keep coming. If we had, and I'm not against them, maybe one day we'll have them. If we had, you know, marriage for young ones, marriage classes for middle ones, marriage for the olders, falling off the log, groups, let's all get together in our groups, and singles, and wannabe singles. That'd be the biggest class in some churches. I want to be a single again. Can you, Jesus, can you perform a miracle? You said only death is supposed to separate us. Well, God, can they go home early? We don't give you a lot of different, you know, cause we could keep you here, I mean, under just the fear of obligation. But you need to go home, enjoy your families, be with your families, and work this thing out. Hallelujah. In prayer. Glory be to God. And he said, I've married a wife. I can't do it. Can't do it. So the servant came, showed him all these things. And of course, we've read that part. Then in verse 25, this is where we're coming back to Wednesday night. He went, and as he's going, this is on his mind. It's on his mind. Like, does everybody that's following me, I got this great multitude that's following me, do they know what I'm talking about? And he turns and he starts talking about the same thing. Like, y'all probably don't get this. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. When I said that this man denied getting involved and stepping in because he had a worthwhile thing. I mean, the guy didn't say, excuse me, I can't come because I'm going to the bar this weekend. Excuse me because I'm having an adulterous affair this weekend. No, these were all good, legitimate. Pastors can't talk about them. You can't rebuke them. It's just that it takes them out so subtly that they're attesting to, they're affirming, yeah, you, glory to God, we're going to have something. We're going to have a revival. It's just that they get taken out and they don't even realize it. And Jesus is turning here and he said to this great multitude, as he turned to them, he said, if any man come to me, you guys are coming to me, you're following me, and I'm just got through saying this, but let me reaffirm it, and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, let's just stop for right there for a moment. Do you think that this word hate is describing a vehement word that all of the Gospels and all 66 books of the canon of Scripture is teaching us against, that we are to love our neighbor as ourself? Do you think that Jesus has just somehow flipped his lid and has just walked off and is describing something so contrast to the Word of God that he is actually telling us to begin to hate people? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's describing something that he's reaffirming. He's reaffirming that the guy earlier in 18, verse 18, when they all began to one consent, they were consenting to something. And what they were consenting to something was that they were choosing somebody above or something above the call to go in full speed ahead, and they could not even see it. And Jesus says, well, I got to open up your eyes. You're following me, but you don't understand what I just said. You don't understand how subtle this is. And so he turns again to try to once again open up their eyes. And when he does this, he says, unless you hate, love less than. I said Wednesday night, Pastor Dave said something the Holy Spirit said to him a long time ago, when he was teaching him on this scripture. He said, son, you wanna hate your children? You wanna hate your family? Love them more than me. Love them more than me, and it'll be the same thing as you hating them. Because what will happen as a result of that is you stand between me and them getting my grace over them, because you think as a loving parent you love them more, and rather than turning your affection towards me and letting me float through you, you deny me the right by thinking you love them so much. He said, hate them. If you want to hate them, choose to love them more than me. And this is what he was talking about here. He was not talking about, I hate your guts. He was talking about choosing in life through a subtlety that you could not even recognize, because you weren't there to the place where your eyes were being washed and your heart was being washed and you could not see, and the reasons that you were giving to you were so justifiable that you would argue them down in court and Who could say? Who could say? But here's the amazing part. He says, and whosoever, verse 27, does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That means disciplined follower. For which of you intending to build a tower, this would be considered your house, or he's giving something physical for us to understand something spiritual. He's talking about your life here. Which of you intending to build a house sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after that he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that begin to see it begin to mock him and say, this man, he began to build and was not able to finish. Now, he gives this example. He says, look, what Jesus is doing is giving a perfect contrast to what he just said. He said, look, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to understand this. By reason of comparison to all the things that you know to be things that you love, you've got to love me so much more that you deny the right of any of those things which are good to step in between me and you. They can't. They can't. But what he goes on now to teach is this. My God, I mean, I don't have to really spend much time justifying this, but I will. Any of you that know me, any of you that know him, know this. The foundation of all true revival is family. It's not the dissolve of it. If you know me, you know I love family. I love to get my family together. I love to have family time. I love to do things with my dad, my granddad, my girls, my wife. It's important. But I understand this, that the day and hour that I let my call for any reason subtly begin to be transposed over to a place that they are taking first place and he's taking second place, what I am doing is I'm giving a license for the enemy to step in between me and them and make havoc. And I can't afford that. I can't afford that. And so Jesus is giving the exact opposite contrast. He's saying, if you want to build your house is your life. And he said, some people, if they build, he said, look, if you're good, wise, you wouldn't start a house and say, hey, I'm throwing a big house party because in 6 months from now, I'm going to build this nice house. He said, before you do that, you would better sit down, take a calculator, and figure out from foundation to roof, all the way through, it's going to cost me this much. Otherwise, I'm going to get this thing to half stage, and I'm running out of money. And there's no MasterCard to back me up. And there's nobody to back me up. And people are going to walk by and say, hey, you're going to move into that? There's no windows. You're going to move into that? There's no floor. Your drying's half done. You should have thought about it before you moved out of where you're at. What he's saying is this. If you sit down and calculate, okay, Jesus, how can I love you more than them? This is your insurance policy. It's an ironclad guarantee that if you want to finish your life out well, have your children around you at the end when you walk into heaven, then you must learn on a continual basis how to choose him more. You must learn that. Then he goes on to say, what king would hear of another king? See, this is a life that we live. There are continual, every day, challenges coming at us to kind of bring us into a place where it stops, it abates us going forward in our call. It's not to throw the kids out. It's to gather them in. This is his guarantee. What king would hear of another king coming and saying, look, he walks in, and he takes counsel. Well, who's he doing that with? His generals. This is the essence of the scripture. How many's coming at us? Well, there's 20,000, sir. What's in our ranks? Well, we've got 10,000 guys to fight. So you sit down with your generals. Can we do it? Are our guys as good as 2-1? I mean, are we that good? Can we do it? So the generals are, well, we're more than enough. Or else, we got a ragtag. We're in a mess. You better figure out something else. The best thing you can do is go talk to this guy or send somebody to talk to that guy. And before he gets here, tell him, look, you know, if we fight, you're going to lose a lot. We're going to lose a lot. You're going to get messed up. We're going to, you know, why don't we figure out a way? He's not talking about you sitting down and compromising with the devil. He's saying that every issue of life is different, and the Holy Spirit will come to you in all those issues, and He will give you the exact wisdom for the hour, for the day, and whether you should fight one way or the other, you're still in the fight, you're still going to win, but you've got to get that revelation knowledge from walking with Him. But there's one thing, and several things in that one thing, that will stop you from getting that revelation knowledge, and you'll be impeded in the fight, and you'll get run over by the devil if you're choosing, even without your knowledge, other things before Him. Hallelujah. Thank you for those amens. He said, again, verse 26, if any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my what? Disciplined follower. Now, we said this Wednesday night. We left these up here because some people said, are you going to leave them up? I said, well, I don't know. We did. We're not being mean. We're teaching the best, the zest of life. The zest of life. We're teaching how through the Holy Spirit. Because see, everybody has got this. You have got what He said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Your cross, what is my cross? Your cross is not sickness. You've been healed from sickness. He bore it on His cross. Your cross is not disease. It's not poverty. It's not depression. It's not abandonment. All those things were placed on Him. Well, then what is my cross? Your cross is to find out how to follow Him at your very best and make all this work inside of all this. Inside of all this. In the life that you live, in all the things that surround you right now, with mama, with daddy, with husband, with wife, with children, how can I take up this cross and pursue Him and make all this work where He's working out the fullness of His salvation in my life? But I can guarantee you this, there is grace for your cross. Hallelujah! See, you know what the deal is? The first thing, here's where most people miss it. They're always looking at somebody else's cross. I could do all that if I had their cross to bear. They got plenty of time. They can do it. Let me tell you something. You think your cross, Pastor, my cross, it's got a laminated, it looks like it's wood, but it is titanium steel. I cannot hardly carry it. I wish you had to carry it for just a little while. Yours is balsa wood. In fact, I bet yours is styrofoam. I wish I could pick yours up and run off with it. It's just, I'd love to carry your cross. I'd love it. See, that's the first place of deception. I wish I had their cross. I wish I had their cross. Listen, if you step over into another man's place and take the cross that it's not yours, you'll find out it'll weaken your knees all the way to your foundation. Because the devils that you'll run in and carrying somebody else's cross, you're not geared up for. Well, I'd like to try some of your devils. I don't want to try none of yours. I bet you don't want to try any of mine. Glory to God. Listen, He's got a plan inside of His counsel for you. But if you don't have this programmed in you, if you don't know that there comes out of this, verse 26, a very beautiful word, and we said this beautiful word Wednesday night, It's a two-letter word, and the O in it, we put a smiley face in it. So that you know that it percolates. It percolates out of this verse 26. It percolates with love. It percolates with affection. It cannot disannul any of the other scriptures on love. Is it around? Yes, it is. It is the word no. No. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that the Holy Spirit devised in verse 26. It's a word of love. No, I can't do that right now. Because I have to do what He told me to do. And you'll be all right. I mean, you don't walk away when they're bleeding. But to some people, every day they're bleeding. No, I can't do that right now. You notice I got a smiley face? I'm going to take these off today. Here, Terry. Not that you needed it. Now, if this isn't the word, you can show me. But no, these are all in it. And he's not picking on any. No, Dad. I can't right now. I can't. I got to, he's called me to do this. If you don't understand your part in the revival, the subtlety of people that you love and life itself will tell you, you have to. No, Mom. No, kids. You know, we live in an hour where if you deny your kids anything, you're the worst parent in the world. No, kids, we just can't get involved in any. We're maxed out on our involvement right now. We just can't get involved in anything else right now. They're not going to turn into Charles Manson if you deny them getting involved in something else. Oh, my. For what? The work of the ministry and you having the time. Because, see, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Somebody says, I wish I had more time. How many of you have ever asked for more time? Time is relative to what? The solar system. What we devise as time is because there's a big star out there called the sun. And it's stationary. And it is being orbited by a lot of other planets and stars. And it's a big one. What is it? I'm trying to remember. If it was hollow, it was just a pocket, you could put 120 million Earths in it. That's a big star. We're 93 million miles away from it. And we're sitting out here, and the rock that we're on is turning like this. Now, if you go to, I love stuff like this. If you go to Ecuador, which is a country that's named after the equator, there's actually a place, several places, monuments in Ecuador you can stand, because the equator, the center of the earth, goes right through Ecuador. And you can actually stand, and I've read articles on it, people will stand, you can stand with 1 foot in the northern hemisphere, and 1 foot in the southern hemisphere. That'd be pretty cool. Now, there's things like, what do they call that? The Coriolis. It's the Coriolis phenomenon or something like that, where you can take a pan of water, a sink of water, and put it right on the equator, pull the plug, and the water will drain straight. And this phenomenon, it's so neat. If you go a few feet, if you go 10 feet north, when you pull the plug, the little tornado, it goes clockwise. It's amazing. If you take the sink, fill it up with water again, and step over into the southern hemisphere and pull the plug, it drains, that little tornado goes counterclockwise. That is that incredible or what? That is so incredible. If you stand on this line and walk it around to where you meet yourself again, it takes about, it's about 25,000 miles around it. The earth is spinning. The sun's standing still. The earth's spinning. It's 25,000 miles around it. So that means it's roughly, the earth is roughly spinning. If you had a line sitting here stationary and it, to the time it made a full revolution to get back to itself, it's spinning at probably just a little over 1,000 miles an hour. Isn't that amazing? It's a wonder we don't get flung off of here. I mean, how are them people down south? And I mean, how is the Aussies, how are they not falling off, you know? It's amazing. 365 days it takes while this is going like this to keep going around. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 365 days it makes a full revolution around the sun. It's amazing. Now, God could, if He answered your prayer to give you more hours in the day, let me tell you what He could do. If He turned a 24-hour day into a 48-hour day, all He'd have to do is stop the earth from going 1,000 miles an hour to 500 miles an hour. I'm going to make a point here in a minute. It would give you 48 hours in a day. That'd be amazing. That'd be some long days. But guess what? If you didn't understand the subtlety of all this, your 48 hours would become full and you'd be saying, I need more time. I need more time to pray. Because as long as you keep saying yes, 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 turn to your neighbor and say, look at him and say, no. No is a good word. See, some of you don't believe that no is a good word. You need to take your kids and sit them down and say, no. The next time, no. No. Father, mother, wife, children, brethren, where are we at? Bros, no bros, no sister. This will almost get you killed at times. No honey. Listen, you think unless you understand that your life going in must be a sacrifice, but He'll also give you the wisdom. But if you think that the enemy won't fill your life up with all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, you're sadly mistaken. The last one is, know me. Know me. There has to be a point where I say, you see, because most of the time we think that the life that we're living, we have to live this way. Until we make those decisions, well, I only got 5 minutes a day to pray. Please use those 5 minutes. Because what those 5 minutes will do will eventually wake you up to see that a lot of the stuff that you think that you had to be doing, you could have said no, that now is occupying so much of your world that now you're just in the web. After a while, you'll wake up and say, I could have said no, because no will give me more time, because there's only going to be 24 hours. God will give me the wisdom for honey. God will give me the wisdom for children. God will give me the wisdom for all this. But there has to be an understanding that I've got to deny self and I've got to deny everything else at times to fulfill my call in Him. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Glory. I know it's warm in here, but it's good stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody was saying no to me the other day. I said, it does not say pastor in there. Of course it does. It means everybody. Everybody becomes a second place to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody becomes a... If they become second place, they really become first place. because you can't love them like He loves them. Glory be to God. Let's all stand. It's just good stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. This might not be for everybody, but I know it's for some, and maybe it's for all. But you can see and attest to what you've heard in the Spirit. You know it's truth, but you don't know how to, even though you know what to do, you don't know how it's going to work out. You know how to separate all these things. There's a special grace and a strength as we just worship the Lord this morning. I just believe the Lord wants me to lay my hands on you and pray for you. If that's you this morning and you want special prayer, to just say, Lord, I want to dive in like never before, but you're going to have to open my eyes to understand some things that I don't understand maybe right now, or how to even to divide things more perfectly to you. And if that's you this morning, please come and be a part of this line as Matt puts something else on. The rest of you, please, if you're certainly free to go this morning, but please do it in the reverence and the fear of the Lord. And we love you. We love all of you. This is a time of ministry.